Good evening, and welcome to Rick Bizzio's Franchise Focus Podcast. It is the number one show, in our opinion, as far as it relates to talking about trends in franchising and helping aspiring franchisees learn what it takes to become an educated franchisee and be able to pursue their dreams of franchise ownership. And when they get started with their business, have the tools and the knowledge and the education necessary to become a successful franchisee. So before we get started with today's excellent podcast, speaking with John Reynolds from the IFA, talking about the recently published and shared Franchise Business Economic Outlook. It's an annual report that the IFA works on with IHS to give everybody in franchising an idea of what to expect as far as the growth and prosperity, the amount of jobs, the amount of economic outlook, output that we should expect from franchise businesses across the country. Definitely excited about that, and we'll be sharing a lot of interesting information and useful information for folks looking to get into franchising and folks who have recently gotten into franchising. But before I start there, of course, I would love for you to check out our most recent show, speaking with Stan Friedman and Michael Stone about the Professional Athlete Franchise Initiative. Did that a couple weeks back. Got some really interesting information and some fun thoughts talking about what is required for athletes to get into franchising and how they've built that specific component or that organization group up. So that's a fun podcast. We'll have Stan back on to talk about his company, FRM Solutions, and their approach at the upcoming annual convention for the IFA in a couple weeks. Just here, of course, if you guys have any thoughts or comments on today's show or any others, please reach out to us on Twitter at EducatedZ. That's EducatedZEE. Find Rick on LinkedIn by searching his name, Rick Bizzio. And obviously, if you're interested in his book or Rick's services, please feel free to check out educatedfranchisee.com for the book and afranchisecoach.com to get a better idea and more information on what Rick does to help all these franchisees to become more educated and realize their dreams of successful business ownership. So back to the task at hand. Without further ado, I'd like to go ahead and welcome on John Reynolds, who is the president of the IFA's Educational Foundation, who, as I mentioned, worked closely with the IHS on the Franchise Business Economic Outlook, and obviously would like to welcome in my co-host, Rick Bizzio, the star of our show here, who will be speaking with John about what we should expect from this, and we'll nice back and forth to give our listeners some nice insights here. So, gentlemen, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks a lot. And I think John's the star of the show. So,
well, thanks so much. Thanks so much for having me. I'll bring the numbers if you bring everything else.
That sounds good. John, I do want to say thank you for taking the time to share your expertise with us. I think there's really few people really in the United States who know more about the numbers, as to what's really happening in the world of franchising. And, I'm a big supporter of the Educational Foundation in general. I think that the work you do, as a nonprofit and the research and the educational programs and the general awareness of franchising, and the impact franchising has on the free enterprise system, in the United States, is it's really important what you do. And so I just wanted to let you know that I value it, as I'm sure many others do.
Well, thank you. It's a fascinating industry, and there's a lot to keep track of. So I like to say there's never a dull moment.
Absolutely. Well, maybe
there's always something happening. There's always something happening in this industry.
Absolutely. Let me ask you a quick question. Obviously, I want to dive into this report and kind of ask you some real direct questions as to what you're seeing and trends and that sort of thing. But just for those reporters, those folks out there who were a little bit like me a couple of days ago, were a little bit confused as to, the different reports that you have and what the role of this report is, the Educational Foundation's, it's called the Franchise Business Outlook Report, which I guess it's produced once a year, and there's quarterly updates that are done as well. Talk to me about how it started, what the purpose of this report is, and how it fits in with, some of the bigger work that you do. So just as a perspective.
Sure, happy to do that. Well, really it started with an understanding that when we produced our first census-based report, which was based on the 2007 economic census, it was an annual report, and it was really kind of a look back, because there's always a delay when you get the census data, usually sometimes by as much as 2 years. And so we're anticipating the 2012 economic census, later this summer. And it will also be a look back. But really, for business people, you know, it's more important to be able to look forward and sort of forecast, you know, what we think is going to be happening in the economy and what's going to be happening in franchise businesses in terms of new business growth and new jobs and economic output and so on. So IHS, which used to be called IHS Global, and now they're just called IHS Economics, they're a big macro forecasting firm. They're one of the probably top three or four firms in the world that do this kind of research. And they analyze a lot of data from surveys, from government data sources, from other sources, and they compile massive amounts of it, and then they establish baselines. And from those baselines, they can estimate what the growth in particular sectors are going to be, like retail or manufacturing or whatever. So we came to them and we said, you know, we want to do the same kind of thing for franchising. And by the way, it includes 300 lines of businesses. And so they said, wow, okay, that's going to be a really interesting project to undertake. But we started this about 5 years ago, and we produce a quarterly report, and then we produce our annual economic business outlook. And so that's really how the report came about.
So if you think about it, I guess, as a business owner, you do annual filings and all of that, which is historical. But if you really want to know what's going on with your business, you look at the numbers on a daily basis. It's the heartbeat of your business is knowing your numbers. And I guess that this, in many ways, is the heartbeat of what's going on in franchising today, really, isn't it? And it allows you to predict the future as opposed to being purely historical.
Yes, and I mean, in addition to the actual, you know, sort of economic data crunching, you know, we survey our members and we get responses from them about their attitudes and their outlook for the future, and if they believe the economy is improving, if they plan to do hiring in the coming year, and that sort of thing. So a lot of different sources go into our overall outlook report each year.
So what do you
gotcha.
See if you were to like sort this out, this kind of this forecast for 2015 and where we've been in 2014? What are you seeing? What's the kind of the forecast looking like at this point?
Well, I really think there's three headlines that come out of the report. First, we are seeing again for the fifth year in a row a faster year-over-year growth in the franchising industry. So 2015 looks better than 2014, and 2014 was better than 2013. So we see that as a very positive trend, and this is the fifth year in which we've seen that positive trend. Franchise businesses are simply growing faster and creating jobs at a faster pace than the rest of the economy. And so in the coming year, we are estimating that franchise businesses will create close to 250,000 new jobs, which is a 2.9% increase. That'll bring our total job numbers up to 8.8 million.
Wow.
We're forecasting a growth in new businesses, new franchise establishments of over 12,000, which will bring the total numbers up to over 780,000. We're forecasting a growth in our economic output, which is roughly equivalent to sales, of an additional $45 billion, which will about a 5.4% increase over last year. That will bring
the total
up to $889 billion in total. And so we also track GDP contributions to franchise businesses to the overall rate of GDP growth in the economy. And we're, a couple decimal points above the annual GDP growth in the economy, 5.1% compared to 4.9%. So, all those numbers are very positive trends for growth in the franchising industry in the coming year, and better than the numbers in the last year or two.
Do you happen to know offhand what percent of the United States GDP franchising represents?
It's just a little over 3%.
Okay. All right. I was just kind of curious about that because $889 billion is a big number, but, you know, it's hard to know what percent of the big number of the U.S.
Well, you know, we're in a $20 trillion economy, so it's the U.S. economy is a very big economy. So, but those billions add up, and I'm sorry?
What percent of the jobs is it? It's 3% of the output of the U.S., but what percent of the jobs?
Well, it really depends on how you count the jobs that are associated with small businesses. You know, so you know, we're at about 8.8 million total jobs,
mm-hmm.
In the private sector economy. That would be about one out of every eight jobs.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's a pretty big number, isn't it? So that 12%.
Yeah. Yeah.
12% of the jobs and 3% of the output, so it's a job creator, you know, far larger than its numbers would indicate originally with the output.
Well, and you know, the interesting thing when we've been doing these reports for the last 4 or 5 years is we can now go back and we can compare what the annual job growth rate was year over year, and compared to other businesses in the economy and the rate at which they're creating jobs. And we're doing it on average for the last 5 years, about 20% higher rate, about a 20% faster rate than other businesses. So, you know, the net of all of this is that franchise businesses are really good for the U.S. economy. They're good for a lot of different reasons, but one reason is that they scale businesses. They grow. People who have one business can get a second business and a third business, and that scalability is something that is very difficult to achieve with small businesses. You know, the typical small business owner has one or two businesses, and it doesn't grow to 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 businesses. But really, to grow your economy and to grow jobs, you need that scalability. And that is one thing that franchising does really, really well.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. I was going to ask you that, is why do you think franchising continues to really outperform the rest of the, you know, I guess the more the mom and pops that are out there? And scalability, absolutely. Systems allow you to do that, don't they?
Exactly. Systems allow you to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Economy of scale, you know, in everything. And your purchasing, and your advertising, and your brand positioning, and your operational aspects of your business, all those systems come into play.
Are certain parts of the franchising sector growing larger than other parts, or are all the different industries that, you know, are in franchising, are all they kind of going at the same time or same? I guess
there is growth. You know, we sort of track 10 big segments, and of course there are lots of businesses within those segments, types of businesses within those segments. But the quick service restaurant segment, you know, is very big, and it's one of the largest segments of the franchising industry, no matter how you measure it, by number of establishments or by output or by jobs. But that segment is one of the fastest growing segments in our industry, and is projected to grow at a faster pace this year, in the coming year, than last year. And the same thing is true for the retail sector, which is a very important sector to us, you know, spread among many different types of businesses. But it's also expected to grow very fast, both in terms of creating jobs, more jobs in this year, and more output. And when you add those two up, you know, you get to almost half of the new jobs that will be created in the franchising sector this year will be created from those two segments, quick service restaurants and retail businesses.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Very interesting. You know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody, I forget who it was, but I was talking to somebody about people's perception of the economy. And one of the things that I have, as a consultant on a daily basis, working with people and keeping track of people that I put into business over the years and staying in touch with them. Really, since the end of 2011, beginning of 2012, I was starting to hear some really positive things from people in regard to the fact that their business was growing, that a lot of the competition that was there before had gone out of business, and so now they're able to, you know, to survive and get a larger portion of the pie, you might say. And I was hearing all these positive things, but every time that I turned on the TV, I heard doom and gloom, right? And it seemed like the TV was totally focused on the cost, the value of your house, and whether or not you could get a job. But whenever I talked to business owners, they were talking about, can I go out and build a business, and can I get more for my money? Can I get an employee for less money? You know, there's so many things that were positive. And so as I look at the numbers that in here, because you have some historical numbers as well, it appears to me that really, looking at this historically, is that that really was when everything really started to turn around, didn't it? I mean, it was really around 2011 that we started to see a real positive uptick with.
It was definitely around 2011, and I think we've seen what I would call the steady improvement. You know, in the small business market overall, and a lot of that has to do with some easing up of credit, some cleaning up, and some sort of flushing out of the housing market, so that, you know, as many business owners go to the bank, they have equity in their homes and other property that they own, but if that housing market is weak, then the value on their equity is less, and so it definitely has an impact on the credit that people can get and how much credit they can get. And we're starting to see some improvements, I think, in that market. So I think things are looking up. I know that when we ask our members in this latest survey if they thought the economy overall was going to be better this year than last year. There's probably a 10-point spread of a more positive outlook, for this year than for last year.
Is a 10-point spread large, or is that small in comparison to how those answers have historically come in?
Oh yeah, it's very large. I think you would say, 3 or 4 points is sort of like, okay, things are tracking along very modestly. But when you suddenly see a big jump in people's attitude about the economy and people's attitudes about their own business, a 10-point spread is a big jump.
So what we're seeing is a tremendous amount of bullishness and confidence, I guess.
More optimism. Definitely.
So that leads to the natural question for me, being a contrarian. Okay, what can throw us off?
Well, I think there are lots of things, and it's interesting because going back to what you said earlier, I think that the reason we started to see these positive sentiments expressed in 2011 about people's and their own businesses was that you have to be an entrepreneur to be in business, and so you look at these problems as challenges or as opportunities, and you have to be able to do that, because if you didn't feel that way, you wouldn't go to your business. You'd be doing something else. So I think in general, and that's one of the great strengths of our country, is that business owners tend to be more optimistic and more entrepreneurial, and they tend to be looking for solutions. And so at the same time they may think of a problem, they're also thinking, how can I turn this to my advantage, or how can I turn this into a solution? And so I think we're seeing some of that. And as you said, many of those businesses did go through the recession. They did do the restructuring and the belt tightening, and they've come out of the recession, I think, in a stronger position, financially, on their balance sheets, in many ways. So I think that they are better prepared to take advantage of the opportunities that are coming ahead. But there are some headwinds. In the survey, we ask our members, what are your top concerns? And, their top concerns deal with government, really, and with the climate of sort of the regulation of businesses. And things like this joint employer ruling by the National Labor Relations Board, has many people concerned about what their relationship is going to be with their franchisor, what their relationship is going to be with their employees, how all this is going to, a great deal of uncertainty around those issues. We know our members have told us that many of them, 85% in our survey, say that they've already experienced, an additional cost and a negative impact on their business from compliance with the ACA, with the healthcare law. And, many of them are taking steps to manage their workforce better and shifting perhaps to some part-time from full-time employment. And, that's not good for the economy. So it's not really good when you have someone who is working a full-time job and now that person has to work two part-time jobs, just to make ends meet. So I think there were lots of unintended consequences, from the ACA. And our members are dealing with a lot of those issues. Our members are starting to express a lot of concern about minimum wage increases, especially in certain cities and in certain states where they see this as, adding further cost of doing business when their margins are already very thin. And it forces them then to raise prices, which, creates competitive issues for all the businesses. So they're dealing with lots of these kinds of issues. And as one gentleman said to me the other day, if it was just one of those things, we could deal with it. But it's the layering on of all those things, the concern over the Labor Relations Board rulings, the taxes, the regulations, the ACA compliance, increased zoning requirements, and inspections at the local level. So, it makes it more challenging for people to manage their businesses to the bottom line.
Yeah, it's an interesting contrast, isn't it? You have a positive economy, you have positive franchise business index, you have that 10-point spread that you talked about. So there's a lot of people feeling that there's good things going on, but at the same time, a whole variety of things that really cause a lot of challenge for folks, especially for larger franchisees, doesn't it? For franchisees that have a larger number of employees and have established a scale to their business.
No question.
Really a problem for them. I want to just ask you a different question in regard to, I know this is really designed to reach out through 2015. What about 2016? This is asking you to crystal ball it, which I know is a little bit unfair, but it's an election year, and election years have their own set of uncertainties. What are you thinking there?
Well, I think there will be things that people will be watching. I think there will be the business community will be watching very closely. I think some court rulings on this latest raft of what we would describe as regulatory overreach by the National Labor Relations Board. I think some good court rulings in some of those cases, I think, would be a very positive thing for the economy overall.
Didn't we just have one positive court ruling? I forget which franchise it was in regard to the National Labor Relations Board. I was down at the Sun Conference and somebody was talking about there was one franchise organization.
Well, there are hundreds of these little cases now being filed all over the country that are complaints. Uh-huh. And they work themselves through this sort of a hearing process at the NLRB level. And then, of course, these cases can be adjudicated. They can be referred and they will be referred to the courts. And so I think some early court cases being resolved in that area. I think we certainly hope our friends in Congress will curtail the this sort of rewriting the laws of the land by the NLRB by passing a law or something that will curtail their sort of administrative fiats that are going on.
Wow.
I think if we see some uptick in the positive changes for reducing the tax burden on small businesses, especially, and this is just on a very macro level, all the businesses that are organized as pass-throughs, LLCs and LLPs and S-corps,
yeah.
who get their income on their personal income tax from these businesses. And so I think reducing the tax burden on them will affect lots of small business owners. I think lowering the capital gains tax and lowering the overall corporate tax rate would be good, because then more investment will flow into these businesses, which I think could have a very stimulating effect on the economy. So I think, you know, we'll be watching for those kinds of signals in 2016 to see if we get some relief from some of these headwinds that that we're facing now.
I'll tell you what, I think that this the National Labor Relations Board issue is going to keep a lot of folks employed for a very long time, and they're mostly going to be lawyers and bureaucrats.
Right.
You know, and with all the
unfortunately, I think that's true.
Yeah, so it's maybe it's just a way of preserving their own jobs. You never know. Graham, I've taken up kind of been driving this whole thing. Is there anything you wanted, any questions you had that you wanted to kind of throw in there at this point? I didn't know.
I think you touched on many of the things I had in mind. I guess I will just add that, you know, based on the topic you guys are just now talking about here at the back end of the call, talking about the NLRB ruling, you know, what minimum wage standards are in local communities and states. You know, the IFA has done a heck of a job of being an active voice on those topics and coming in and supporting franchisees and franchise businesses in certain communities who are dealing with those issues. You know, obviously one excellent example is Steve Caldera, you know, the IFA's leading voice and CEO, you know, flew out to Seattle and was on the ground to help, you know, battle back against the significantly higher minimum wage that was levied on some businesses there. Had an excellent representative from Alpha Graphics who was helping to fight back in a very, you know, calculated and tactical way, and was also at a Capital Area Franchise Association meeting last week where Robert Crisanti and his team spoke. So the folks who were helping lead up the public policy charge and government relation charge for IFA, and some of his PR and social media voices there. And honestly, the IFA has assembled an excellent team of PR and social media folks who are helping control the message and have IFA and the franchising voice be heard on these topics and these issues. And, you know, starting at the top with Steve, going down to Robert, and with folks like John, who are, you know, obviously well informed on these issues, know you know, where franchising stands on these topics and what is required to help this business model thrive in the future. We have very active voices from the franchising community out there who are fighting the good fight and who are doing what they can to help continue to promote messages like this podcast is doing, talking about the fact that the franchise business model is, you know, still growing, still prospering, and still very solid and strong despite these issues that are out there from a political perspective. So kudos to John and Steve and Robert and all the folks at IFA for helping to, you know, have our back and have all franchise owners' backs in this tough time, and helping to continue to make sure that everyone knows that franchising is still growing extremely well and is a business model that certainly is something people should consider when they're looking to start their own business. So unless you, Rick, it seems you don't have anything else, John. I mean,
wanted to throw one thought in there for anybody who may be listening who didn't know. When you look at this report, one thing that you're going to discover, and John, tell me if I'm wrong here, okay, is that the numbers that we're looking at right now in 2015 as being our numbers, these numbers are larger in regard to the number of businesses, in regard to the number of jobs, in regard to the gross domestic output of franchising, are actually larger than the height at 2007.
Right.
Isn't
that interesting? No, that's a very good point.
So it's not a matter of are we recovering. We're actually back to the 2007 level and growing from there. So just from a perspective point of view, you know, because we talk percentages, but let's just talk about, you know, in the big number, we've totally recovered and we're already moving forward. So,
absolutely.
No, I think that's an excellent point. And, you know, thank you guys for helping us get the word out, you know, to the public and to others about franchising and how important really maintaining a positive environment for franchising is to the economy overall, because we want more people to invest in franchise businesses. We want those businesses to open and create more jobs and provide more jobs for Americans. And then all of that is an economic stimulus that drives the economy and, you know, helps spread, you know, wealth and prosperity amongst lots and lots of people. So it's good for the economy.
There's no doubt about it. If any of our listeners want to, you know, access this report or access a press release or something where they can get a better understanding and have these numbers at hand, how can they access that, John?
Oh, they can go right to our website at www.franchise.org and just click on the tab there that says Franchising in the Economy.
Awesome. Well, we certainly appreciate your time. Unless there's anything else you'd like to share, any sort of closing statement about these numbers and, you know, what franchising should expect in 2015, I'll go ahead and wrap us up.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, and look forward to having me back on sometime. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. No, we would love to have you back on following the IFA show to talk about Next Gen Initiative and how you guys have made some progress with millennials and franchising, if you'd be interested.
Love to do it.
Awesome. Well, that show's coming up, folks, mid-February, the IFA's annual convention out in Las Vegas. As mentioned, I'll be having Stan Friedman from FRM Solutions on to talk about a recent merger that's causing a seismic shift in franchising between Process Peak and FranConnect, and how his company, FRM Solutions, is offering personalized CRM and portal tools that help franchisors be more personalized and strategic in their outreach to franchisees, prospects, and current franchisees. But from there, if you guys have any questions on today's show, talking about these numbers that John and the IFA and the IHS put together for this year's Franchise Business Economic Outlook, please feel free to check out franchise.org for those numbers. Reach out to us on Twitter at EducatedZ, on LinkedIn via Rick Bizio's account, or go ahead and find some more about Rick and what he does as a franchise coach and what his educated franchisee process is all about at educatedfranchisee.com and afranchisecoach.com. But without further ado, we will let you guys go. Thank you all for joining, and we look to see you next time on Rick Bizio's Franchise Focus. Good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.